come out. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it.
In a shocking development, Chewy wants more days off. We just had a 4-day weekend. Now, we had to work on Friday. Does it still count as a 4-day weekend if we had to work Friday morning?
No.
Darn. All right, so we had a 3-plus day weekend.
I was here until 3 p.m. 5 to 3.
So we had a 3-day weekend. And Joshy brought up a great point this morning when Chewy was like, ugh, feels like a Monday. Don't you always want Mondays off? Isn't that one of your things? Isn't that one of your core tenets?
I want the rest of my life off.
How far are we from your life being off?
Josh, he's like, I mean, not that it affects anyone else here, but just curious. Like, what are we talking? Ballpark.
People retire at 56. A lot of people retire at 56.
I mean,
no?
You're kind of retired. I was gonna say, how far are we from retired right now?
I don't know. What's acceptable?
I mean, you can retire whenever you want. As long as you got the means to be retired and don't have to work, yeah, you can retire whenever you want. I'm not gonna judge people who retire early. Good for them. In fact, it's almost like an inspiration.
Enviable.
Yeah.
When is Social Security now? Or is there even Social Security? Is it 67? It used to be 64.
Yeah. It always, if you want the full benefits, I believe it's 67 now.
Okay.
You going to be able to hold out?
No. You want the truth? No. Maybe. Who knows? I mean, like you said, I got nothing to do, so.
Wait, so when you woke up yesterday with the day off, were you still grouchy because it was a Monday?
Number one, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning, okay?
So this is a yes?
I like sleeping in on my weekends because we're up so early during the week.
Wait,
so maybe
hold on. Before we move on, what is sleeping in for you on the weekends?
7:30. I mean, 4 o'clock's early, right?
Yes.
And it screws things up. So if I got a full night's sleep yesterday, I would have been fine today. I've got jet lag. I think that's what it is.
Jet lag going from Wisconsin to Florida.
Yeah.
You got jet lag.
I think it happens.
All right. Well, we're going to let you work through that this morning.
Grinder right here.
Grinder? I am a grinder.
Grinding me.
1 hour jet lag.
At least I don't bail on my friends.
Joshy, is there anything you'd like to talk about?
Yeah. First things first. Chewy, you know how you've talked about spies?
Yes.
I got a spy. Shout out to Dave, who snitched on me instantly after talking about hanging out with people for 30 hours.
Wait, what do you mean he snitched?
It's the father of one of our friends listens and reported back the details of me saying 30 hours with the same people is too many. Friday, we go to the welcome party. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, in fairness to you, you did say you didn't want to hang out with yourself for 30 hours.
Yeah, I made it clear.
And also, in fairness to you, nothing you said on the radio is not something, I mean, it's not a secret. You would say these things to these people's faces.
Uh-huh, and I did.
and
I will continue.
And Josh, for clarification, when they're a friend of yours and they rat you out, they're called rats. They're not spies.
Sounds fair. Okay? So Friday, we had the welcome party. Actually got to go home by 10 p.m., so we didn't spend as much time out as I expected. Saturday was the wedding. Now, this is the long day. I was responsible for taking some of the direct decorations there. So my day started around 9 a.m. We went to the wedding, ended at 11. Of course, you go to the bar after. So we've got that whole day. Sunday, they're deciding we're all going to get together again. And I said, you know what? Bleep that. I'm going to do my own thing. So I ended up not making the 30 hours. It's probably closer to, 18 hours with these
21?
People? but at the bar, I had an interaction, and I want to know your guys' thoughts on this. There was some out-of-towners at this place. This place is either locals or out-of-towners. Those are the two clientele. It's either people who are always there or people who are like, wow, this place is so neat. Let's go there and let's get some drinks. It was a family, group of people, about eight of them. They ordered a set of drinks. Total came out to $50. They left a $2 tip. They walk away. You're like, okay, whatever. Some people aren't that great at tipping. You can live with it. They come back, order shots. Now this total's over $50 this time. They stiff the bartender. And I go, well, that's not really cool. They come back, order another set of drinks, order tip $2, and then order more shots, $0. And I'm wondering, because I wanted to, and I had had a couple cocktails at the time.
Had a little bravado.
Would it be inappropriate for me to say, hey, we typically tip around here to somebody I don't know. I'm by myself, mind you, at this bar.
They're rolling eight deep.
They're rolling, yeah, and it was mostly like younger kids and moms, so I wasn't threatened physically by the situation, but I also didn't want to put the bar in a bad spot where I'm now being confrontational to these people they have buying things from the bar, but then stiffing the other people, the workers.
How do you know they didn't have a tab?
Because I watched them close their tab every single time.
Wait, so they were paying with a card every time, and then they just kept closing the tab instead of keeping it open?
Yes.
I mean, first of all, that's psychopathic
behavior. That's a very young kid thing. Very young kid. Okay. They also were doing the thing, you know what I also hate? When you go to the bar, you order drinks, can I get two Miller Lights? Brings them back. And then we're going to need three Bud Lights. And then, actually, we're going to need two of the hard ciders. And you're like, give me the order.
So dude is going to the cooler back and
yes,
forth.
Yes, back and forth. Back and forth. Yes.
And then you're not tipping.
And then you're either leaving $2 or not tipping at all.
Wait, what do you think standard tipping should be?
In that situation.
A five.
Yeah. How many drinks typically you can do? I do 20% a lot because I end up knowing a lot of the people. And it's like 20% seems fair. But if they're cracking tops and you're giving $5-6... Sure, it's not a great tip, but you're at least acknowledging the effort.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Tipping is so out of control, Josh. Okay? It's so out of control. It is. I shouldn't have to tip on batteries. If I'm buying batteries, there shouldn't be a line for tip. Okay?
Sure.
What are we doing here?
Sure, but I don't think these kids are ordering batteries at the bar.
20% on alcohol is not the norm. It is not the norm.
I always thought it was kind of a buck a pop.
It depends. Now, if you're making me a fancy cocktail and you're putting a bunch of things in it and it's taking you a while, I think 20% is more than fair there.
Sure. But we're talking about, like, what, a Bloody Mary? Something that involves a little more effort, a little more work.
Right.
But to grab a Miller Lite from the cooler, pop the top, and hand it to me, I think that's what I would typically do, is a buck a pop.
Well, a lot of times, too, those drinks are $4, $5. So a buck there is nearly 20%. So the situation kind of calls for it.
How about a bottle of wine?
I'm not buying bottles of wine. I'm indifferent. You should buy
a bar for sure.
I mean, if you're buying bottles of wine, you're rich enough, give 20% and move on with your day.
But so here's the sticky situation, Josh, because I thought this was like, you frequent this place enough, you can kind of ballpark what the order is, and they were just leaving cash every time.
Nope.
So they're closing out a card.
Yep.
They're writing on it.
Yep. Well,
you're kind of creating, you're breaking some rules here by going, oh, well, let's take a look at that person's receipt, see how much they left.
That wasn't what happened, to be specific, because there was some grumbling amongst the people working.
They shared the information with you.
Yes. So I wasn't looking. The one time I did notice it was when they bought with cash. They bought with cash one time. They got handed exact change back. He picked up his cash, folded it up, put it back in his pocket, and walked away.
Yeah, that's weak. Where were they from?
La Crosse. I heard them talking about it, saying, we don't have stuff like this in La Crosse. And it's like, well,
what,
maybe this is why.
The tips.
Maybe you guys aren't helping.
Tipping hasn't made to that part of the state.
Maybe if this is how you treat people who are service workers, they don't really want to work for you.
So I'll just speak from my own experience and say that I sometimes have a tough time keeping my mouth shut. So this is one of those things. Yes, I know. I know. We're
crazy. 5 years
here.
In, this is the first we're hearing of this.
Just wanted to make sure that, you know, I was being honest with you guys about how I am in some social situations. So I feel like, Joshy, I would have felt like you, which is I would want to give them a little nudge.
Yep.
The problem is any little nudge is not going to be well received.
No.
Any little nudge, even well crafted, even delicately delivered, is going to be interpreted as judgment, criticism, you're a bad guy.
Yeah.
And then that person turns up their defenses.
Because that's what you're saying, in fairness, that even if you're trying to say it delicately, yes, it's basically what you're
so
doing.
So that's an interesting point by you philosophically, though, Gabe, because can you never criticize someone and just hopefully be giving them a nudge in the right direction? Why is it always interpreted as, hey, you suck at life, let me tell you why?
Because they're a stranger and they don't know you, and any criticism levied towards a stranger is never going to be taken well. Because they don't know your intentions. They don't know where you're coming from.
Well, then, Josh, I feel like we've nailed this down pretty quickly here.
But I'll give you, like, an example on the plane yesterday, and I can't tell whether people are stupid or they don't care.
Yes.
Okay? So, you know how you exit the plane, right? So the lady in front of us, right, goes over because her friend is sitting in our row, and it's her turn to get out of the plane. And she gets into the aisle and is talking to the lady in the window seat in our row, holding up the line. I'm like, let's go.
Yeah, there's...
And I mean, what are you doing? And this was a good, before I said let's go, a good 10 seconds in. Stupid or don't care?
A little from column A, a little from column B.
But let me just get back to the let's go part. That feels like that little nudge that we were just discussing. That feels like
Is it warranted?
Is it warranted for Joshy to say something about the people's tipping habits?
No, about me on the plane.
I know. I'm asking you, is it warranted for Joshy to say something about the people's tipping habits?
Third time around, I would have said something. I would have said something like, nice tip. Yeah.
See, I was trying to think of a way to address it and not be overtly, because I'd like to say, hey, bleep, what are you doing? Like, this guy's clearly working for you. You're going to leave zero? Like, bad tipping is bad tipping. I'm probably not going to comment on that. You knew it was there. I still think it's sort of disrespectful because you made the notion, but you, is this $2 for $50? That's, I don't know what that adds up to, but
Josh,
that's not it.
Would it have been worse if he just left the change?
Well,
I think it would have been.
Like the quarters if they got them for whatever. Yeah, in those
leave
situations.
73 cents.
Right.
But that would have been worse.
But in that situation, I was like, I mean, this is crazy.
But
you
I think there are
around.
Things, Joshy, that you can say something about. If you are walking through a parking lot and you watch somebody leave their car. You know at the Sendix in Mequon? Because we pop over there every once in a while. Most of my grocery shopping at the Costco. But every once in a while when I don't have what I need and I need it quickly, I run over to the Sendix right there. There are shopping cart corrals, but they're one-sided, okay? You know, sometimes you can go in from both sides, for both aisles, it serves both aisles, but Sendix are the one side. I tell you, man, every time I go, there's a cart that somebody has literally walked over to the corral, but left on the back side.
Yep.
Meaning if you had just around the corral, you could have put it in the corral where it belongs, and then the employees, you know, but you leave it on the other side. I'm to the point now where if I saw someone doing that, like actively doing that, I would either say, oh, it goes in on the other side, you know, like that. Like, oh, maybe you don't know. It goes in on the other side, sarcastically, of course. Or I would grab the cart that they left there and then walk it to the other side and be like, look how easy, and walk away. Like
I've done that.
So that is something where you're saying something, but you're also making up for their negligence.
Right.
If could Joshy have dropped a $5?
Oh, that would have been a cool move. If I had cash on me, be like, I got the tip. Don't worry about it.
Oh, yeah, yes, Eric.
That's how you'd have handled it. Yes.
That would have been the right way.
Because
yeah, that would have been good.
Now you're not putting the person in a bad spot because you're paying them.
Right.
Right?
I'm paying for them. There's a tip going out there. Slap down a $5 and go.
And you've sent the message.
Yes. That's it. That's the right move there.
All right, so now you got to start making sure.
Yeah, carrying
a few fives.
You got to start carrying some fives.
But this also happens so infrequently because, like, bar culture is tipping culture. That is where it, like, lives and dies. That is the whole thing. That is where you do it because you know what's going on. Like, it's so infrequently for me to see it is why it took me so a surprise. I haven't seen somebody stiff since, like, we were going to college bars and doing, like, nickel beer nights. Like, that's not really how this goes.
Let's put this on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll this morning, the Infinity Exterior Twitter poll for Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Should Joshy have said something to the people who did not tip the bartender over and over again? Let us know. Weigh in on that. We got a lot of stuff to get to today on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Jason Wilde coming up. Adam Schefter is going to join us today. He's got some commitments tomorrow, so we get him a day early. Lucky us. And there's an article on ESPN.com that is basically talking about how we are 100 days out from the NFL season. Here are the things you should know. There's a few things that are relevant to the Green Bay Packers. We will break it all down after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where our friends at Mantelity come in. Mantelity, local healthcare facility specifically dedicating to helping men feel and perform at their very best. And yeah, they are local. Saw my girl Betsy yesterday at the Brewer game, hanging out. We were having a good time in Mantelity. Yes, they are local and they are here for you. So what does that mean? That they're here to help men feel and perform at their very best. If you're dealing with low testosterone, some of the signs can be groggy, tired. You just don't feel like yourself. Don't have that energy that you once had. Those are all signs. Go to Mantelity, lowtusa.com. Book an appointment. Go through their process. You get a blood panel done, and within a week, your results are back. And if your testosterone levels are low, that means Mantelity can come up with a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. This is not one size fits all. They want to make sure that your levels are exactly where they need to be. So go to lowtusa.com. Mantelity allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mantelity. lowtusa.com.
Ready?
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Days until the NFL opener seems as good a time as any to check in with our friend and teammate Jason Wilde. Good morning, Jason. How are you today?
Good. How's everybody?
Chewy's meh.
Meh.
I'm not playing.
That was kind of funny.
Yeah, he said that feels like a Monday. But
it does feel like a Monday. Yeah. I forgot you guys were calling.
100 days until the NFL starts. There are articles out there, right? There are articles out there talking about here are some things that you need to know headed into the season. And I don't know if you got a chance to look at it, but something that stood out to us was that they don't think that the Packers are going to make the playoffs.
They who?
Ben Solak at ESPN.com.
Yeah. It was his bold prediction.
Well, I guess we'll have to have him on our bold-a-thon. It's possible. I don't think he's right, but it's possible. I mean, they've got a difficult schedule. They've got a lot of guys with a lot to prove, but they could go the other way, and they could, you know, go 10-7 and then find themselves in an NFC championship game playing for a trip to the Super Bowl, too. So I'm not that bearish as Ben is on the Packers, but I can see a path to that. I can also see a path to a very successful season. And 100 days out, when they haven't even started their first OTA practice, I'm not sure I'm ready to write them off as not making the playoffs, that's for sure.
Jason, with mini camps right around the corner, who do you expect not to attend?
Great question. The first OTA practice is today. The first one open to us is tomorrow. There are only two that we get to watch, and there's only six in total instead of nine. So whoever misses these will only miss six instead of missing nine. I want to see if Elton Jenkins has shown up. The mandatory minicamp is June 10th, 11th, and 12th. So we will see what happens there, more importantly. I do think that there has been a shift in the last 10 years or so from the off-season program being voluntary, wink, wink, to being, no, it really is voluntary. So if you guys don't show up, we can't be mad at you like Mike Sherman or Mike Holmgren used to be. So, I don't know. I know Romeo Doubs has been there because Matt LaFleur mentioned that he has been there now, after he was not apparently there for the first day of the off-season program. So that's good. I still, you know, I wrote something for Channel 3000 of, you know, here are the, no one's going to answer all the questions in basically 8 or 9 practices with the mandatory mini camp included, but they got to start working on finding answers to these questions. And my first one was exactly what kind of quarterback is Jordan Love going to be? I mean, this is a, you guys have heard me say it a ton. This is a pivotal third season as the starter for him. And so, you know, I know that most guys will be there. I don't know Elton's situation. I haven't circled back on that. And they still haven't resolved the Jair situation, so who knows what that's going to look like. But you can bet your bottom dollar, Annie, that I'll be taking attendance tomorrow and making note of who's not participating.
Has Jair been told to stay away?
So he allegedly... took part in the virtual portion of the off-season program. Now, the way I phrased my question, and I didn't get a follow-up in, was, is Jair taking part in the on-field work once they started that? Because they did the first week virtually because the draft was here. Mm-hmm. And LaFleur confirmed he was not doing the on-field work, which, as we've talked about, makes sense, because if he pops his Achilles, they're on the hook for his entire contract, and given his injury record 3 of the last 4 years, they definitely don't want that. But sooner or later, they gotta make a call here, and because I would think that any player who is able-bodied and wants to be successful, even if they don't enjoy the off-season program, I mean, remember last year he was here for everything in the off-season.
Mm-hmm.
He collected his bonus and everything else, so I would think at some point here, both sides have to say, all right, look, are we going to, you know what, or are we going to get off the pot here? And so I am assuming, you know, LaFleur last week was on with Kay Adams, and he flat out, well, we're still working through that, and we're hoping to have it resolved here sooner rather than later, which indicates it's not resolved yet. I would think that they would want him on the field if they're keeping him, and I would think he'd want to be on the field if he's going to be playing here.
Jason, you've got a piece about Marshawn Lloyd up at channel3000.com as well. How important, again, not that he's going to, you know, solve all the problems in the next 3 weeks, but how important is the start of year two for him, given how well Emmanuel Wilson played a year ago?
Yeah, and look, I don't know if I've ever seen, you know, obviously Chewy had some injury issues at the start of his career, but I don't remember a rookie with more misfortune. Like, what he endured was like biblical. Like, I was waiting for like the Fox River to turn to blood and frogs and locusts to descend upon the guy. I mean, think about it. He started with a hip injury he suffered while working out before camp. So he comes to camp, he's on the non-football injury list. He plays in his first preseason game and blows his hamstring. So then he's on IR to start the season. They activate him. He plays against the Colts, and he plays like 5 plays or whatever and hurts his ankle. Or maybe it's vice versa. Maybe it was the ankle in preseason and the hamstring in the regular season. It's so hard to keep track with all the crap that happened to the guy. And then he's finally able to come back, and they're going to activate him off IR, and he has an emergency appendectomy. So the kid played 10 snaps in the regular season last year, and that's all he got out of his rookie year. So it's almost as if you've got, you know, it wasn't ideal last year, but it's almost as if you've got a bonus draft pick in this year's class because he barely played. But as I pointed out in the story, you know, Josh Jacobs made him ride to practice every day with him, so they could talk and so he could impart, you know, whatever veteran wisdom he could. And you can sense that the coaches are really excited about what he can give them. Now, all that said, I would say Emmanuel Wilson was a pretty darn good backup running back for them. He averaged almost 5 yards a carry. He didn't get a ton of opportunity, but he still carried the ball over 100 times. So they've got some options back there. if they want to take a little bit of the load off of Josh Jacobs. But, of course, with Josh Jacobs, you don't want to take him off the field if you don't have to.
Jason, Jalen Ramsey in the news this weekend. The list, I guess, of teams that are interested in trading for the cornerback include the Rams, the Cowboys, and the Commanders. Oh, by the way, all NFC teams the Packers would likely have to tango with on the way to the playoffs. But does the Packers' non-interest in Jalen Ramsey tell you anything about where this team is, maybe even with the Jair thing that you just discussed a few moments ago?
How old is Jalen Ramsey? Do we know? How, if Joshy can look that up.
30.
Got to be north of 30, right?
He's exactly 30.
Yeah, he will turn 31 in October.
God, feels old.
He might as well retire. Yeah, he does feel. I totally agree with you. I was just going to say, I was going to guess 32. I don't agree with Goody's philosophy. In his case, though, like, does he not feel like the corner that's more of a headache, and that at some point, you know, the scales of justice between talent and pain in the keister weigh a little more toward the pain side? Like, I feel like Tyreek Hill is there too, right? Like, yeah, he's great. He runs fast. He's been incredibly productive, but he's got a pretty checkered past. I don't think the Packers want anything to do with a guy like that. And I don't think, you know, if they're going to take a mercurial cornerback that they don't know if we'll be happy or not, they might as well just keep the one they have.
Dance, Jason, with the one that brought you.
Did you go to the softball game? Joshy said it was amazingly unathletic.
I did not. I used to go to those all the time when Brett was the host, and then when Driver was the host. There was some pretty good media access. I have a great picture of Paula's godson, who I think was like 6 or 7 at the time, with Aaron Rodgers, who was a rookie at that thing. And it's crazy to see how both those people have now grown up. One has graduated from Madison, and one is on Joe Rogan for 3 hours. So I used to go to them frequently. I did not on a Friday night. I hope Jordan Love threw the ball better than he did on his first pitch yesterday.
Yeah, we heard.
It was like an Ephus pitch.
Yeah, he just kind of lobbed it in there. I mean, don't you expect the quarterback to... I mean, I'm not saying he should be throwing a 90-mile-an-hour fastball, but have a little more zip on it.
Dainty. So unbelievable. So, Gabe,
yes.
Like, Ben Johnson did that at, like, a Cubs or White Sox game and, like, threw, like a slider, right?
Yeah, because when you're first learning how to throw pitches and whatnot, I mean, the way you throw a spiral in football, very similar to how you would throw a slider in baseball. And he kind of had that release to it. And it's like he didn't really know what he wanted to do is what it looked like to me. And he just kind of threw it up in the air just to get
it
to play.
Well, Jason, I had to do an appearance with a guy who was an All-American at Platteville, and he bounced it. And I was shocked.
Gabe?
Shocked. Bounced it. Gabe?
Yeah, because you're trying to throw it in there, and
you choke.
You bounced it?
Bounced it, yep.
50-cent Neitzel?
Bounced it in there, because you're trying to throw it, you know. Wanted to get a little more on it, and just held on to it a little too long.
Jen, you threw out a first pitch, right?
I threw out a few of them.
Nailed it?
Yeah.
Wow. I think Power Ranking is going to be Rank the Athletes on this show. I know who's four.
I threw one. I will say this. I have thrown it out once, and I agree with you that you just don't want to look like a loser. But at the same time, you got to cut loose, right? Like, I threw a strike at the Madison Mallards game. My fastball tops out at about 60. So, you know, it's batting practice speed. But it would this, and this was like 15 years ago now. But I would have totally, I just thought he played it a little safe. But that's, I would also argue that, you know, maybe that's something he can do more this season, and his interception number will go down slightly.
Jason, before we let you go, Joshy was at a bar this weekend, and he noticed that some out-of-towners were skimping on the tips. Several rounds of drinks, What was the total tip, you think, Joshy, that these folks left?
Four total dollars.
Whoa.
Of four orders that altogether was probably close to $200.
Could Joshy or should Joshy have said something to the bad tippers?
Well, had he already reached a point in this incredibly long weekend with his friends that he thought was too much, that they were sick of him? Because if he's, you know, he was sick of them, because maybe he would have made some new friends by giving them good advice. But no, I agree that that is incredibly poor form. I'm not sure that the tip police, do you have a badge for that, or how does that work? Like that. And what would you, I didn't get to hear the earlier segment because, again, I forgot that I was on today. How would you have gone about admonishing them?
I was thinking of saying something along the lines of, like, we typically tip around here, which in second thought might have been a tad aggressive and probably not reached all that well. We think we determined I should have just laid down a five in front of them, like as they were walking
and
away.
Said, I got it.
Yeah,
I got
this
it
one's
here
on me.
Yeah. That would have been good.
Yeah, that is. Were they out of towners?
Yeah, they were from Lacrosse. They told me twice.
They used the word A a lot.
Lacrosse? Like with. Yeah, take off A, you hoser. That's Canada. I would have been curious how the most effective approach would have been. Like, if you knew they were from Lacrosse because they told you twice and you had built some measure of rapport chatting them up. Maybe you could have had maybe you could have taught him a little bit about the ways of local patronage. So maybe I take that back. Your first instinct is a poor one. That would not have helped.
That's what I thought. And I always, like, when it comes to money, people get particularly offended. And I mean, I'm accusing them of being cheapskates. So even if I'm nice about it, the real intention there is, hey, pony up.
Yeah, you're a charming guy, though. I'm sure you could have found a way to really kind of make it feel like it was their idea.
Obviously, Jason needs to spend more time around Joshy. Realize he's not.
I barely even know the guy. Yep, exactly.
He's an agitator.
I've heard that, too. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Thank you, Jason Wilde. You can listen to Jason on Wilde and Tausch right after Jen, Gabe, and Chewy each and every morning here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee.
There's no better time to upgrade your windows and doors than right now with Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, because Pella is offering up to 6 years of 0% financing. Set up a free in-home consultation and you commit to nothing at this point. They'll listen to your vision, suggest the Pella materials and customizations to make it reality, and get 0% financing for up to 6 years. I did it this month. Looking for a new front door? Contacted Pella Windows and Doors Wisconsin. They came over, gave me some great options. Now we're in the process. Can't wait to get that new front door on our house. Certain restrictions do apply. Deal ends May 31st, 2025. So visit PellaWI.com today and make sure you tell them that Gabe Neitzel sent you.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things, because it it's like... I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my
apple.
Can we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
We talked about this with Jason Wilde just a few moments ago, but Ben Solik from ESPN has put together quite a little article on ESPN.com, basically commemorating the fact that we are 100 days out from the NFL season, and he has things to know and predictions. And if you scroll down to the bold predictions of the article, the second thing on the list says the Packers will miss the playoffs. I think two of the biggest non-negotiables for playoff teams are having a pass rush presence and a dominant receiver. The Packers don't have the first and still might not have the second, even after drafting Matthew Golden in round one. I'm inclined to agree with Jason Wilde that it is way too early. And again, I understand the concept of bold predictions, but it is way too early to sit here and say that Matthew Golden is not necessarily a wide receiver one. The pass rush thing, I think we all know where we are on that. I think we just have to kind of grin and bear it and deal with the fact that they did not upgrade the pass rush in any meaningful way, and it will likely be what it was. But, Chew, do you really think that the Packers could miss the playoffs this season?
Yeah, there's a shot. I don't think it's a big shot, but, I mean, if you look, teams that could potentially make the playoffs. You got Cowboys, Eagles, Commanders, Lions, Packers, Vikings. The South, not real strong, so probably one out of there. And then you have the 49ers and Rams. So I think that's eight teams. So there is a chance. I'm not buying it, but I suppose, yeah, I mean, it could happen. I don't like the schedule. I'm going to tell you, I like the schedule better last year than I do this year. I do not like those final two games. You know, I just don't. And I think that's, if they lose both of those, yeah, they could lose. They could miss the playoffs.
Well, the schedule was easier last year, right? I mean, they were taking out
South. They had that gauntlet, though. Remember, there was like six games, and you're like, man, that is a brutal schedule. And if they come out of that thing 2-4 or whatever, there was a chance. It's just, I don't like the way it starts, and I don't like the way it ends.
So, yeah, but that's what happens when you play a bunch of good teams.
Yeah.
And that's what they have on their schedule, because the NFC North is looked at as one of the best divisions in the NFC. You're playing the NFC East, which, I mean, again, your mileage may vary on the Cowboys, but the Commanders are expected to be good. Eagles, obviously, coming off a Super Bowl, are expected to be good. These are the teams that are on your schedule. And given that, you know, just a little less than half is the turnover rate in terms of teams who made the playoffs don't make it again the year before, when you're sitting there as the seven seed, that's an easy team to go, oh, yeah, that's the team that's not going to make the playoffs.
But what I think he's really saying is he believes that Minnesota is better than Green Bay.
Well, that's what I was just going to ask, because it feels like to me, when you look at it right now, rookie quarterback, again, however you want to distinguish J.J. McCarthy, it does feel like they should take a step back. I think the Lions are still going to be a tough team. Mm-hmm. We showed that list the other day, and 25 under 25, and they got five of them. And then, oh, by the way, they got all these other studs out there. So let's talk about it on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. That is sponsored by BetterHelp. Mental health is help. Visit BetterHelp.com/timeout for 10% off your first month of therapy. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P. Because the other thing that Solek says, guys, is that the turnover differential last season is going to be tough to duplicate. Green Bay Packers were plus 12 in turnover differential. I think they were third in the league in takeaways last season. 31 takeaways, good for fourth in the league. Well, Steelers were tied for first with the Vikings. The Bills had 32 takeaways, and the Packers had 31 takeaways last season. And Solek is saying that is a tough thing for them to go back-to-back on. And that really gave me a pause. Why? Why is it hard to duplicate turnover ratio, turnover differential? Why is it hard to duplicate takeaways? The Legion of Boom did it year after year after year. It's what gave them the name. Are you telling me that Jeff Hafley and company, Chew, can't put together a defense that is ball hawking, that is flying to the football, and that is making things tough for opposing offenses?
Sometimes turnovers are luck. I think they look at that number. But no, when we played Minnesota always made it a point. Their first guy would go in and hold the ball carrier up, and then the rest of them would go for the ball. They would always try to get an arm in there and rip it out, and they were very successful. They were top, you know, they were probably top five, top seven every year. But, yes, coaches do emphasize that more than others, but still there is a luck element, and I think it's like injuries, you know. You think Detroit is going to be that beat up again on defense? It's not going to happen. You know, injuries are kind of the same way. That's bad luck. Turnovers are good luck. So I wouldn't expect them to be three, but I would certainly expect them to be top 10, because that's just the way Hafley teaches.
Yeah, I guess I've got more optimism that they will be a top five team in takeaways again. But Gabe, are you suspect? Are you skeptical?
Turnovers, they are. I mean, you just look back at the history of the league, and turnovers are the thing that can be fickle. That's why, again, you look at the difference between the 2010, to put it in local perspective, 2010 Packers were fantastic, great defense, had a ton of turnovers. And yes, you lost Nick Collins the next year in 2011, but you still had Charles Woodson, you still had Clay, you still had all these great defensive players, but that defense struggled because they didn't generate the same number of turnovers. Because, like, you know, again, that can be luck, right? Like that half step that it is a pressure instead of you actually hitting the quarterback, and it ends up being a bad throw or fumbles. I mean, anytime the ball hits the turf, I mean, it's just a flip of the coin whether or not who's going to recover it. Yeah, you know, each team's got a 50-50 chance, And if you, you know, again, that can get out of whack. So yeah, turnovers are a tough thing to be able to duplicate year after year. It just
where were
is.
Where were they on the other end as far as turning the ball over? Middle of the pack? Because that certainly helps, too. If you have an offense that doesn't turn it over.
Yeah, their differential was plus 12. I don't know
which
where
is,
that
so
number
they
were,
is. Which they, is big.
Yeah. So they had 19 giveaways last year, which would have been 12th.
Which is, yeah.
So they were 12th in turning it over, in giving it away, and then, you know, obviously a lot better than that in the takeaway department, fourth in takeaways.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That makes a big difference. You know, I'd take those numbers all, I'd take 12th all day long.
So, like, it's pretty empirical at this point that their turnovers aren't sticky, but we all watched Joe Barry's defense. And we knew what they were in terms of not creating turnovers. I certainly don't think the Packers are going to drop into like a bottom third team.
No.
They're certainly more aggressive in their style of play.
Yes.
It's just the ability to create them and convert them into actual turnovers is different. But I also think if you're more aggressive and getting near the ball more, if it's not a turnover, it's going to lead to more better plays, lead stopping third downs, things of that nature.
And that's what I would say is my confidence level in Jeff Hafley is so much higher than Joe Barry. I think this could be a defense, this could be a secondary that does have a penchant for taking the ball away. If Xavier McKinney can go out there and do what he was doing, sort of leading that unit, now you need to get production, you need to get takeaways, you need to get that aggressiveness from some of the other guys out there as well. But I'm more optimistic that that is something the Packers can, maybe not duplicate to the same level, but can certainly shine in 2025. That's where I'm coming from. So when Solik uses that as an explanation or a reason why the Packers could miss the playoffs, that one gives me a little pause. I don't buy that one as much as I do the other ones, which, again, we know the pass rush is something that could be the difference between being a playoff team and not being a playoff team.
But just look at Xavier McKinney and when he had his interceptions. I mean, how many, 90% of his interceptions came in the first six games. And then he goes how many ever weeks without an interception.
I think it's also important to point to what he said on the first end with the not having like a great pass rusher. And then their margin of turnovers, it seems a little less likely unless you're able to generate consistent and decent pressure that you would force those turnovers. Because those both lead to strip sacks. They lead to errant throws. And it seems like if you're not able to get to the pass rusher meaningfully and consistently, those numbers might tank a little bit. Because if you have time back there and you're not rushing your throws, not getting tip balls, that could also be a factor into both of those working in concert.
And then for offense, it's a discipline. Because if you remember at the beginning of the season last year, Jordan Love had some stupid interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
And LaFleur kind of called him out and said, hey, you got to take care of the ball a little better. Which he did. He did the second half of the season, but...
And that's one way you can manipulate that number. The Packers with Aaron Rodgers, despite having defenses that didn't create turnovers, were always high in turnover
margin,
differential because Rodgers never turned the ball over. So even if they, you know, they had a low number of turnovers because they never turned it over, the difference was always large.
I wonder if we were ever in the positive column with Brett.
I mean, probably one of the years he threw like, you know, 12
doesn't
or
13. Really feel like it.
We had LeRoy back there. You guys had a pretty good defense. I bet you were positive in 96.
Yeah, I'd take a wash with him.
Now I got to look this up.
Yeah, I know. I knew I'd do that to you. You didn't think I was going to look it up,
well,
did you?
I knew you weren't going to look. You wouldn't even know where to start.
No.
One of the other things that they do highlight in the article by Ben Solik, and again, it's pretty meaty, so if you have some time today, go ahead and bop around. But Edgerrin Cooper is listed as a player who you should know. 10 names to know, Edgerrin Cooper on that list. And as we continue talking about the defense, he says, I'm not sure there were five more impactful linebackers in all of football. Highly active against the run, a reliable tackler in space, the size and athletic ability to be a solid coverage man. He got one all-pro vote last season. I would wager he gets double-digit votes in 2025. Let's put it on the Infinity Exteriors poll, the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Infinity Exteriors poll. Ben Solik's bold prediction is the Packers will miss the playoffs in part because of the turnovers. Do you think the Packers will be able to match last year's? We got to decide right now. Do we want to do takeaways? Do we want to do turnover differential? What's the metric that you feel more comfortable with?
I think we just do takeaways. Might be asking a lot for people to
I don't think they get the 12. Yeah. They're not going to get
that
the
was 12. That was the differential.
Yeah,
so they had 31 takeaways last year, too.
They're not getting to that. That's a crazy number.
But again, to Gabe and Joshy's point, they could also limit the turnovers, right?
Them see,
turning
the
ball over
this.
That would change that number.
They can't fully use McKinney's talents because the D line is meh. Leroy was a Hall of Famer in part because our front four created so much pressure that you could. Leroy was just a center fielder, you know, who has incredible instincts that I like McKinney does. I still don't think they're getting all they can out of McKinney just because he's got to be back in coverage because they know that this D-line is not going to get home and you can't be too aggressive. I don't even think he's hit his ceiling yet.
From the court to the classroom and the community, the Champions for Literacy celebration with Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener will be an evening you don't want to miss. Join Wade and Diener on June 27th at the Garage at the Harley-Davidson Museum to make an impact by raising funds for literacy. Get tickets and full event information right now at wadeversusdiener.givesmart.com. That's wadeversusdiener.givesmart.com.